Thank you for joining us for another Super is Natural in the Kingdom of God with Corey Pritchard, where our goal is to help you assimilate into God's kingdom so that super can become natural in our everyday lives. Just excited to pick up with, we're going to do part number 5. I had to make sure that I got that correct, with faith that draws and drives. And if you haven't listened, again, I always say this, but I have to remind you that you're going to get some great things out of this, but you're going to get the best opportunity to get the most out of this if you go back, beginning at least in part number 1. So I've retitled these so it's easy to be able to pick up there. So I encourage that this is your first one, go back to number 1 and go all the way through 2, 3, 4, right? And follow us right here. You'll find yourself right back to this place. But the goal in all of this is to help all of us, right? Again, I'm saying not you, right? I'm saying us, we should be in this thing together. It's for all of us to begin to see faith through the lenses of Jesus Christ, right? We should see everything through Jesus Christ, right? That should be our goal. But the reality is, because we were given so many different things, most of us never stop to ponder and consider what was the message of Jesus Christ, right? What was his doctrine? What was it that he actually was sent to actually teach, right? So many times we will assume something that may or may not be the reality, right? Sounds good, feels good, we may want it. But when you stop and really filter it through Jesus Christ and his teachings, you say, man, that really doesn't stand on anything, right? That doesn't really have weight. So faith is such a vital thing. Jesus taught a lot about faith, right? And it's not normally the faith that I think that we have taught or we've perceived. So again, making this time to do this is a very important thing. If you haven't, then you can go out again to a Bible concordance. I suggest a Bible concordance online. It could be anywhere. You can type in faith, right? And you can see where we're at in this. So I'm just following right in alignment with the concordance says, as far as when Jesus is actually mentioning faith, when he's actually talking about faith. And these are some wonderful classes, right? These classes, not this podcast classes, right? But I'm talking about it. Just stop and ponder, imagining sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, right? Maybe in front of a body of water or at the base of a mountain, right? Or in someone's home, right? Wherever it is, and having your rabbi, your teacher, be able to share truths with you that have been stored up from the foundation of the world, to be able to unpack, right, and unload and share with you things that the Father has always wanted you to be able to have. And that's what we're looking at when we look at what Jesus Christ is teaching. OK, so in the last episode, we actually shared kind of the premise or where I came up with this faith that draws and drives. So we saw the ruler, right, this ruler that came to Jesus Christ. He's high, but brings himself low. And he asked Jesus, right, saying, I know that my daughter's dead. As a matter of fact, my daughter's dead, right? I know she's dead, but I have more faith in you than I do in death. So if you would come and lay your hands on my daughter, then she's going to live, right? And the response to that, right, because he's driving, right? This man's faith is driving. The response to that is that Jesus, what? He follows faith. That's what Jesus does, right? He responds to faith. God responds to faith, your faith, right? He responds to our faith. So it says that the disciples, Jesus and the disciples, it says that they followed him. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So you can see the image of that, having this group of people that's following this man. So I'm saying as a note, and I actually will read that because I'll have a note that corresponds to that verse. So if you're looking for that, you can actually go to Matthew chapter 9, okay? And I'm going to read verse number 18, okay? We're picking up where we left off at. And it reads, "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshiped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples." Okay, so in this, my note is this. I'm asking that we pay close attention to the statement of faith, right? And I said that is something that is vital, right? We don't want to miss that. We're looking at what this gentleman is doing. By that, then his faith is able to begin to drive, right, and to move and do things, right, that we would say are miraculous, they seem normal to Jesus, right? We would say they're super, they seem normal to Jesus, right? And going down to verse number 20, it reads, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood." Okay, so Jesus is already following faith. Do you see that? So the faith of this ruler, it's driving, and that faith is driving, right, Jesus and the disciples to his home, right? So Jesus can lay hands on his daughter. Now, this is amazing because on the way, as this man's faith is driving, right, if you can imagine that, this woman, she catches him in the way, on the way, right? So he's on his way following faith of this man on his way to his house. And now he's going to be intercepted. I'll say it that way. So the man's faith is driving. But what happened is this woman's faith is also driving, right? So it's amazing. This is absolutely amazing. Jesus following the man's faith is driving, and it brings him into a interaction with this woman because her faith is also driving. So the same faith that drew the man to Jesus Christ or drove the man to Jesus Christ, same faith that's driving, you know, this man and Jesus and the disciples following, that same faith is drawing and driving, right, this faith by this woman. This woman is drawing her to Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? She's being driven into the presence of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? And what we're going to see is that her faith, right, not only is driving, but it's going to draw. You're like, what? It's going to place a demand, right? So it's driving, but it also places a demand. Absolutely amazing, okay? So again, this woman, it says that she was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years. Now, I honestly could not imagine, right? I'm going to be completely honest with you. I could not imagine. And that I actually heard a message. So if you, I don't normally shout out or, you know, suggest you go and listen to certain things, but there is a message that the gentleman at 2819, right? It's a church, 2819, in Atlanta, I think it's Philip Anthony Michael. I think it's his name. Make sure I'm saying it correct. Now, I'm not saying anything more than there is a message that he taught, and he deals with this portion of this scripture, right? So you can follow along. He's actually teaching through Matthew, and he gets to this place where this woman has this issue of blood. So he breaks it down, and he shares a lot of really good things so you can have a great opportunity to picture what this must be like for this woman, right? So with that being said, then this woman was bleeding for 12 years, right? And I could not imagine, like me as a man, right? I've been cut, right? I've been, you know, banged up or whatever. And, you know, I had some blood, but never bleeding, right? More than just a short amount of time. Again, that gentleman does a good job of bringing out the fact that, you know, women have a menstrual cycle. Lord knows, right? I got two daughters, right? I got a wife. That's some stuff that I have to learn about, right? And the reality is that is something that happens normally and naturally as far as a woman being, you know, on their menstrual cycle and bleeding. That's normal. Now, what's not normal is for that to go more than 30 days, right? That's not normal. So if it were to go 45 or 60 days or whatever it is, that would be a tragic thing just in that short span of time. But imagine having this happen for 12 years, right? And you can go 12 times 12, right? And think about all these months, right? Count the days, right? Multiply out the days, multiply out the hours, how many hours and minutes that she is dealing with this. And I couldn't imagine. If it was going on for a day, right, or a month, it would seem like an eternity. But for it to be 12 years, I don't know if the faith that I have, I would pray that the faith that I have would allow me to continue to see an image of me being made whole after 12 years. But it says this woman was bleeding for 12 years. And in this tradition, then you are ostracized, right? It's not just like women here in America. You can go into, you know, a workplace and no one knows that you're on your cycle. Like nobody knows that, right? You go to the bathroom and you do what you got to do and come back. Nobody knows that. We don't know, right? But in this culture, you had to disconnect yourself and remove yourself during that time. That's not something that you just kind of hang out with people. So for her to have this issue continually, then that would have meant that she would have had continual separation, not just from the community, but from her family and the people that she cares about. Again, I can't even imagine, right? So getting a better understanding picture of that, then you can see how tragic this must have been from the woman, well, for the woman. And I would suggest that anytime you have a story that is actually present in other gospels, that you make time to go find it and read it along with that, right? So this story is actually present in another gospel, at least one of the other gospels. When you put them together, you get a more full picture, right, of what this was like for this woman and what was going on. So in the other version of it, it tells that she has spent all her money, right? So I believe she was a wealthy woman, because I don't know people that can go 12 years spending money to try to be healed, right, and continue to have money to spend, right? Some of us, our money won't take us a week, right? Seven days, maybe not even 30 days, right? But it definitely is not going to take us 12 years spending money, going out to these different doctors and different healers and different people, paying the money. And it says that not only did it not work, it says that it became worse. So imagine, again, just trying to paint the picture so we can see how this faith is working, that she's bleeding, she's isolated, she don't know what's going on, no one knows how to fix it, she don't have any idea what to do. She's got to deal with all of what comes along with bleeding every single day, right? Whatever that is, right, culturally, that has to happen, washing your garments, whatever the stuff is that she's got to do. She's isolated to the point where if she comes into a place and they know it, they could stone her, right? So that's what she's dealing with. But this faith, again, that she's got, she's got this image that's painted or seared on the inside of her that won't leave. How do you know? Because she is still believing. So it's painted or seared on the inside of her. She can clearly see herself made whole, right? And I really believe, okay, now it doesn't say it, but I truly believe that the Spirit of God is so vital in this part, okay, with us, with other people. If we will allow the Spirit of God to help, I believe he will show us an image, give us an idea, give us something to believe. It's up to us to choose if we want to hold on to it, grasp it, take it, right? But this woman has been introduced with this idea, right? And I just believe that that's the Spirit of God that says, listen, if you touch the hem of this man's garment, you're going to be made healed. She says, yes, right? I truly believe it. But she's got this image. She's got this picture that's seared on the inside of her. And it's what is driving, right? And it's what puts her into the place where she is going to be able to draw our place of demand. Okay. So let me continue. And again, this woman, right? It says she was diseased and had an issue of blood for 12 long years. It says she came behind Jesus, right? She didn't even come in front of him to head him off. She says she going to sneak up on him, right? I know he's busy. He obviously is looking like he's headed somewhere important. She can see the man, right, leading the way, see the disciples that are following. She says, I'm not going to try to head that off and jump in front of him. If I can just catch up, catching from behind. And she says, if I can touch the hem of his garment, she says, for she said within herself. Now, I can't speed past that. Right. This woman, again, when I say have faith in your faith, it's vital, because this woman saw an image on the inside of herself and believed that image so much that she said within herself. And I know that we say a lot of things within ourselves, but sadly, in the midst of tragic situations and things that seem dire, that we will say all type of contrary things to ourselves, right? This ain't gonna work. I'll never be healed. I'll never be this. This is never gonna happen. All these self-defeating, faithless things that we will say on the inside of ourselves. And if you think about this woman, she had every reason to say all of those things that we normally rehearse to ourselves. But yet in this situation, she doesn't say it. Isn't that crazy? She doesn't say that. She finds herself saying within herself, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And it doesn't say that she saw a ton of people that were coming to Jesus, touching the hem of his garment. So she saw that image and seen that being portrayed and demonstrated so that she believed it. It doesn't say that she heard these great reports of people touching the hem of Jesus's garment so they were healed. It doesn't say any of that. We don't even know that this woman has ever even seen Jesus before. We don't know that, right? The reality is she is so convinced on the inside of herself that she's willing to be stoned going through the crowd, right? She's willing to sneak up behind Jesus Christ, right? She didn't ask him anything. If you look at many of the miracles that Jesus Christ has done, many of those people ask. They say, what? Have mercy on me, right? They say, heal me, make me whole, right? They're asking, making a request or a petition from Jesus. Here's the thing about this woman that's absolutely amazing is that she didn't ask Jesus anything. She didn't say nothing to him, right? She made a decision in and of herself, and it is something that defies what we would think about faith and how faith works, but we're seeing how it is, not the way we thought it was, okay? So again, she said within herself that if I would do that, then I would be made whole. That was what she was completely convinced about without doubting, okay? In verse number 22, but Jesus turned him about, okay? And when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Do you see that? Right? So when I'm looking at these principles and things I'm sharing, I'm not making any of these things up. I'm not. I'm telling you. Based on looking at what Jesus Christ is teaching and taught and demonstrated, I'm telling you, that's what I observed. All I did was observe that Jesus celebrates you having faith in your faith. He celebrates that. Jesus celebrates your faith, right? So what we want to do is commonly think about someone else's faith, or commonly think about God's faith or Jesus's faith, but it is vitally important that we have a strong faith, a secure faith, right? So he turns to the woman. Again, I'm saying to you, look at the other story, because it's going to give you some more details that this one does not provide, okay? But again, looking at this, Jesus's garment is touched, right? And he could sense virtue or power being drawn from him. Literally, it's like going to an ATM, making a withdrawal. I hate to say it like that. But that's what I'm saying. This is something. He has this virtue and this power, this dunamis on the inside of him that he's carrying. And this woman has come up and she has placed a demand and withdrew, right? Made a withdrawal for what was necessary for her life without Jesus Christ saying anything, right? So after she has made her withdrawal, right, and the demand has been placed on Jesus Christ and she's drawn what she needed, she was made whole in that very moment. 12 years of bleeding stopped in that instant. Whatever disease or sickness or ailment that caused it, it was done instantly, right? At that very time. So it says that when Jesus knew that that had happened, it says that he turned about, okay? Now, let me pause here to make sure I say this. I don't normally like to do this, okay? And the reason why I don't normally like to do it is because this is commonly the way people preach and teach, right? Is that they take a scripture and then they want to immediately be able to bring life application, which is fine as long as it's in context. But sometimes what we do is that we try to fight so hard to bring a life application that we will take it out of what it was that was supposed to be taught. I hope that makes sense. Okay. So yes, we obviously want to come and we want something to happen for our life, right? We all got whatever going on in our life. So we go to religious settings and environments, listen to audios or whatever it is, and we're looking for something that's going to help me, speak to me, right? I'm coming completely selfish, right? And I get it, right? All of that. But sometimes in our selfishness, what we can do is we can mess some stuff up, right? And we can get stuff that God never gave us, and that's not going to be good for us, okay? So I try to steer away from that, and you don't hear as much, but there's all types of that that you can get if you allow the Spirit of God to be able to work in you when you're reading on your own. So when you look at the text, the Spirit of God can drop something on you for you, right? That's something that he will do. I don't like to get in the way of that, okay? Because I could be off or miss something, could be incomplete or whatever it is. So as we're looking at this woman, then what I want to be able to make sure I'm clearly articulating, that the reality is that there are some people that are listening to this or will listen to this, right? I don't know when you listen to this. I don't know where you are, who you are. I don't know none of that, right? But the reality is there could be some dire situations, some strange stuff that's going on in your life. That's the reality of it, right? You could be listening to this in pain, right? And I know God has allowed me. Well, I ain't gonna say God allowed me, but I've been in some pain, right? So I know. And before recently, I could not truly be able to relate about that, right? But I know what it's like, right? I know what it's like to be that way in those times, right? And that's something physical. Maybe you had something that's not working the way that it should. Maybe you keep hearing these crazy reports, right? They're saying something that you don't want to believe, right? But they say, I got all these facts, right? Here's the paperwork. Here's the readouts, right? And they say this is what it is, right? Maybe it's somebody that everybody's telling you that you need to let go because they did, right? A child, right? A grandchild. And they say that they're not going to make it, right? They're destined to be a failure and a loser or whatever it is. I don't know. Listen, I don't know. I don't know none of that. All I know is that in this story, that if this woman, after what she's been through for 12 years, can still be able to believe and have a belief and a faith that's strong enough to drive her to the hem of Jesus's garments and to be able to make a demand, that faith is strong, right? After 12 years, that she can have that and place a demand on Jesus Christ and it be done. I'm telling you, we don't have no excuse, right? Jesus Christ is a wonderful teacher. And I love meditating on scriptures such as, all things are possible for him that believe. And I'm like, whoa, what do you mean? How would you have such an audacious statement to say all things are possible for him that believe? And then Jesus Christ makes another audacious statement. It says that, yes, it may be impossible for man, but all things are possible for God. What? Right? Nothing is impossible for God, right? It may be impossible for man, but nothing is impossible for God. So when we're looking at that, then the last thing that you should ever let anybody take from you or you forfeit is your hope. Don't do that, right? Is your decision to believe and have faith, right? Now, I couldn't imagine, again, you're number one for this woman, you're number two, you're number three, you're number five, finding her smacked dead in the middle, and you're number six. And she didn't know if it was going to be 24 years, right? She didn't have no idea how long it was going to be, right? She had no idea. No idea. So it's not like she knew it was going to be 12 years and she just had to endure for 12 years. So at least she could have the hope and date in mind, knowing, well, at least I can make it to this date and I'm going to be healed. She didn't know. She didn't have any idea. She had no clue how long this was going to last. So I know that she was praying. I truly believe that. I believe that she was praying for 12 years. I believe that she was petitioning God for 12 years. I don't know if she was a Hebrew Israelite or Jew. I don't know. But I truly believe that this woman was praying to God, seeking God, right? She had faith in God, and this opportunity had to present itself, right? Timing is a lot. I ain't gonna say it's everything, but timing is a lot. So knowing that Jesus Christ had to be born, knowing that Jesus Christ had to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, had to be led out into the wilderness, knowing that Jesus Christ had to go and preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and call his disciples to follow him, knowing he had to go preach these great messages, knowing that he had to travel by foot, right? Not by plane, not by automobile, right? Had to travel by foot long distances to get to people who have been praying to God, right? And wanting the solution, but the solution hadn't arrived yet. And again, that God orders the way, that this timing, so that this woman who has been driven by her faith and this man who is driving, so Jesus Christ is following, now they intersect. She crosses the path of the solution that she's been looking for and praying for. So after 12 years, boom, ain't that crazy, man? So, oh my goodness. So let me say this scripture, and then I hope I can move on. We may or may not. We may pause here, but I want to make sure I'm articulating this very clearly. So this is in Luke chapter 18. Let's see. Is it Luke? Make sure I'm saying this right. I believe it's Luke 18. So bear with me. And this is just in real time as I'm recording this. I want you to be able to see this, okay? So I can wrap this. I did not plan this, but I want to make sure that we have it. So let me make sure I'm telling you the right scripture, because I don't want to mess it up, okay? It is, okay. So Luke 18. So in Luke 18, I'm going to read it, and it says this, okay? It says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint." Listen to this. This is the principle, right? This is the command coming from our King, is that the expectation is that we pray and faint not, right? Do you see that? We ought always to pray and faint not. Now, I'm going to get to this later, right? Because we're going through the concordance, so we're going to get back to this, but I got to say it so I can connect it to this. And he said, "Saying there was in a certain city, a judge which feared God, who feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in the city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of thine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Right? In verse number 6. "And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day," don't miss this, "and night unto him, though he bear long with them." Don't miss that. "I tell you that he will avenge them." How quick? Speedily, right? "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Okay. So when I'm looking at this again, I'm saying this directly to you, listening to me. This woman was praying and suffering for 12 years. She's praying and crying out to God 12 long years. Now, I'm not telling you it's going to take that long for you. I'm not trying to paint that picture. It may have already been that long for you, right? It could be a week is too long to be in pain and discomfort. Listen, a day is too long to live with your rights being violated, right? So it doesn't matter the length of time. What I'm saying is, often what we say is, I prayed in this minute, it didn't manifest in the next minute, so God has forgotten about me. Do you understand what I'm saying? That I prayed here on January 1st, now it's January the 31st, God has forgotten about me, right? Listen. I'm saying to you, based on what Jesus Christ is saying about citizens in the kingdom of God, he is establishing these principles. The principle is, man ought always to pray. That's you. That's me. Always pray and faint not. Why would he say faint not? Because it could be rough. It could be tough. It could be miserable. So the temptation is to what? Faint and fall away and stop praying to God. But understand, in this, he says that God is bearing long with you. God is doing that. He's with me in this, in whatever it is I'm dealing with and going through. He's with you. So don't ever believe that that's not the case. So what I want you to think is, here, have the story, the image of this woman, because she bore it for 12 years praying, right? Coming to God. Hey, avenge me of my adversary. Listen, avenge me of my adversary. I know this ain't right. I know this ain't for me. I know you got better for me, right? All of that. And it says that God is bearing long with her during that time. He didn't leave her. He didn't forget about her. God loves you. He ain't mad at you, right? God wants you to have what he has promised to you. He says that this woman is petitioning and she is wanting and desiring this to happen, but she didn't faint, right? She didn't faint. So it said just in this, remember, at the moment she touched the hem of Jesus's garment, it says that she was made whole. In the same way, in this scripture, it says that it will happen speedily, right? So yeah, it was 12 years, but the healing, the wholeness came instantly, right? So I'm saying to you, continue to press into God, right? Ask God to help you see through the lens of Jesus Christ, to see faith through the lens of Jesus Christ. Don't back down. Don't let up. Pray continually.